morning. Today is Wednesday, February the 7th. Joining us this morning, Marty Coelho, and he found another buddy. I'm stunned at your popularity.
Yeah, I have a few friends. Prue Ratliff, our director of community education, she actually likes me.
Really?
Well, it seems to be that way.
So. Or is
I like her.
Okay, you. Yeah.
I like him. He's a pretty cool guy.
There you go. All righty. Let's see if we can find a quote here. Here we go. Quote from Gregory Corso. Standing on a street corner, waiting for no one, is power. That's kind of an intrigue. A little independence. You know, you're not leaning on somebody, Marty?
I'm going to have to ponder that in the shower to really digest that one.
I sense you didn't spend a lot of time in that end of the campus. So why is Prue here, Marty?
Well, there's a big initiative by the state to put more dollars and resources into career education. So the college as a whole is looking to build out our relationships with the business community and hopefully provide resources and training and support that will develop the employees that are needed here in Humboldt County. I think there's kind of a agreement out there in the business community that we're lacking employees. We're lacking employees that have soft skills. They know how to show up for work, how to focus at work, how to have, you know, skills in communication and customer service, things that you would think would be part of the natural kind of work tool belt. Doesn't seem to be as in place now as it was maybe 10, 20, 30 years ago.
Probably tough to have that if you play video games.
Video and games,
you text across the table to the person that you're with instead of talking to them.
Well, I think high school students in general have a lot more options in high school than at least I ever did when I was in high school. The amount of sports, recreation sports, clubs, activities that they can engage in that will help get them set up for college, they're being pressured into doing all of these activities to build out kind of their pre-college resume. And within that is not necessarily work. Most of the kids I grew up with had jobs by the time they were 15, were working part-time in high school,
and
worked through college.
And, you know, you never see them in the afternoon because they were out doing, was it independent study, I believe is what the phrase
right.
was at that point.
Yes. Right. And that's just not the culture nowadays. You also hear from parents that, you know, the businesses are maybe not so excited about hiring high school kids anymore. You also hear that younger people only tend to work their jobs a year, year and a half, 2 years. So the frustrations around getting younger employees and training them up only to have them leave. I think there's a whole amalgamation of factors that are leading to a workplace environment where we're really struggling to find quality employees.
Well, you know, we've always been, for those careers that allow, we're the minor leagues. We're the starting spot. You know, if somebody is really good, they can make more money in larger markets.
Yes.
But they can hone their skills here. And if we got somebody who's got major market talent and we get them for 5 years instead of mediocrity for 20, we win.
Well,
I think that that's an awful lot of the mentality. But in the old days, they didn't have to go to the big markets to make the big money. They can stay here when we had that employment base here locally.
Exactly. And I think things changed a lot since 2008. So if you take the environment...
Oh, I was thinking 88. Sorry.
I think if you take the environment we just discussed and you layer on to the fact that within the trades, is however broadly you want to define the trades, auto body repair, whether that's driving trucks, nursing, medical skills, et cetera, all of those come into play. And so
you tapped on the medical. I know that's a big one. What I'm hearing now, the biggest challenge, and I don't know, Prue, if you're experiencing this in the tech end of things too, housing. Not low rent housing, not fixed income housing or elderly, regular homes. Yeah, if I've probably in the last 2 months have had the discussion with a dozen or more businesses wanting to bring people here, but they can't find homes. Housing permits aren't being taken. Just regular old, you know, three-bedroom, two-bath homes. You can't find the property, or the property is way too expensive. the contractors are either working on these subsidized, you know, governmental subsidized stuff, or they've left the area. It just the regular guy, quote unquote, house, they're just not being built right now.
It gives us an environment that I think is extremely challenging for businesses to operate in. I think it, as a college, College of the Redwoods is trying to position ourselves where we can work with industry groups and try to start meeting specific needs. So the beauty of community education, which PRU oversees, is it's very nimble. To put in an academic program or a program for credit through any college or university is a pretty lengthy process. But through community education, we can develop specific courses and put them into play fairly quickly. And what PRU's been able to do is work with local industry groups to design courses to teach specific skills to fill specific needs, and then work with those industry groups to provide the marketing support or the actual instructors for those classes in order to get them off the ground and running, and then work with those businesses to promote it to the community and see if we can build our own employee chain right into certain businesses.
He didn't leave a whole lot for you to say.
Well, I can give you an example. I can give you a really great example of that, and that was with the auto body collision repair program. When we brought that together, we started out with three body shops: Quality, Fred's, and Myrtletown. And we sat down and had lots of discussions for several months, designed what we wanted to have, and created the class. We just finished the class in December, and we had 15 people that entered that class, 10 that finished, 6 have gotten jobs, and one of those people that got actually had 3 job offers, a woman, had 3 job offers in auto body collision repair, and now we're getting ready to start
that
our next
one. That is a win,
one.
Right?
That is a total
That's
win.
What
that
I
is,
saw
I'm
too.
So excited about that part.
It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Morning, KINS Change. News yeah. and Information Times 8:24. The conversations continue during the breaks. We're back talking shop this morning with Mr. Quello.
Yes.
All right. And Prue Ratcliffe.
Ratliff. Ratliff.
Oh, I put a cliff like.
There's
over
no
the cliff.
C's and no E's in my name.
Radcliffe.
No, Ratliff.
Radliff.
Yes.
All right. Before the break, you were talking about the automotive.
Yes.
And
yes.
The success is that I got to believe that there have been other programs that have had success also. Have they been nurtured, or as Marty was saying, as the marketplace changes, have they evolved and changed? And maybe the things that were really happening decades ago have now evolved into something else.
That's a difficult question for me to answer because I've actually only been the director of community education for a year, so I don't really know a lot of what's happened in the past.
But there's some history, isn't there?
Yeah,
but I don't have it.
I think I'd say that actually that the career education programs that we have out at CR have stayed up with the industry changes, and I guess my proof point for that would be that local employers are coming and cherry-picking our students and hiring them before they even graduate. And
yeah.
And they really, our instructors are working with local businesses to refine what it is they're exactly teaching, whether it's the automotive program or the CIS program or whatever, in order to meet those local needs. And that system seems to be working, but we don't have the number of students going into those classes that we should.
Because as a percentage of the marketplace?
Just compare it. If you were to look at an English class versus one of the career ed classes, you're not going to seem to see the same levels of enrollment.
So, Prue, is there still a stigma?
I think that that's probably true, that our society for the last 20, 30 years has said in order to be successful, you have to go get a four-year degree, and that's not necessarily true. Every individual, we're all individuals, we're all different, and what's going to work for us is going to be different. You know, a master's degree worked for me and got me where I needed to be. But, you know, the thing is that somebody who goes and gets an associate's degree or goes through a program that is maybe 6 to 12 months long may be able to make just as much money as somebody who has a master's degree. So, and that's where the stigma needs, you know, I think that's so the stigma.
Maybe the name. I can remember, was it Larry Hansen? Was it Eureka High with the automotive program? Mm. And that they would be sending kids down to... whatever the tech school was in Arizona. And it was like, a little sexy because it was out of state. But a lot of those kids that ended up being professionals, whether they were drivers or mechanics or whatever, out of that school. And I'm wondering if it had a different name instead of career tech, or it was school at College of the Redwoods.
Well, it's gone from vocational education to career technical education, and now it's being called career education.
It's been morphing.
They're trying to morph it.
That changes through, because I would think if it was seen as an apprenticeship, which in one form it kind of is, boom, everything's lifted off, and now everybody's happy. Ooh, you're an apprentice for what's that about?
Right. And that's actually one of the things that we did with the auto body collision repair program, is that part of that, there was, you know, 12 weeks that were in the classroom, but then they also had a hands-on externship where they actually went out to several body shops. They would be in one body shop for 1 month, and then they would rotate to another one. And by the time they were done, they had an opportunity to work in three different body shops.
Externship instead of intern. I got it. I thought that was cool.
Yeah. So it was, a lot of the students came back and said they just absolutely loved that part. They really enjoyed it. And for our next class, actually, we made a slight change where we cut about, I think, 2 to 4 hours off of the classroom time and increase the externship time, because we felt like that the hands-on was so important.
Well, that's reality.
Well, and it's the philosophy Prue's carried into the truck driving program that we're now kind of booting up in kind of a new and improved way, working with Green Diamond and local trucking companies in order to see if we can add a component in there to teach our drivers how to drive off-road, to do logging trucking.
Oh, unpaved might be a better phrase. Yeah. I mean, off-road implies, you know, wheelies and motorcycles and Baja. Now, maybe that's where you are mentally here, Marty. But
we could call it log truck driving.
Yeah. Well, you know, and there were careers, and have been careers in those niches over the years. Mm-hmm. You know, and you see some, even like the delivery guys. You know, you see what some of these folks can do. You know, let's say the food guys coming up from Santa Rosa bringing the goodies with them, you know, what they can do with those vehicles and how tight that they can put. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like an extension of a body part of theirs. I mean, it really is a skill set that most of us really don't have. These guys are having, so it's kind of neat. So was it Green Diamond specifically, or was niche of trying to find commercial truck drivers?
Well, actually, logging companies came to us because we already had a truck driving program, and they said, hey, you know, we need people who can also drive log trucks as well, you know,
as a specialty within that.
Right, because they needed to, they felt like they needed to experience what it was like to drive a log truck, because it is different than driving over the road in a regular truck. So we worked with them, we had several meetings with them, and what we decided to do was the students will still go through our classroom time, and they'll train in we have a brand new 2018 Peterbilt truck. And yes, and so they'll train in that. But then they also have an option, and the student can choose whether they want to just go in our truck, or if they would also like to learn the log truck driving. And for the log truck driving, what we're doing is they have, for the overall class, they have 45 hours of observation, 45 hours of driving time. We're going to take 10 hours of that time and put them in a log truck.
KINS News and Information Times, 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning. Prue Radliff, Marty Quello are with us this morning. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, by Redec, by American Ag Credit, and Lolita Cheese Company. The opportunity for niches of industry to have a program at CR, I mean, it just sounds so... I don't know, revolutionary is maybe too gaudy a word, but a neat opportunity. What kind of critical mass do you guys look for prior to sitting down going, yeah, we could do one of those?
I wouldn't say that we start out looking at a critical mass. I would say that...
So it's not an employment opportunity concept?
I want to see if there's employment out there, and I actually, whenever something like this comes up, I will go to the labor market data analyst who works for the state of California. He's with the Employment Development Department, and we have somebody for Humboldt and several other counties in the area, and I'll go to him and I'll say, hey, can you tell me how many of job openings we're going to have in this in the next 3 to 5 years,
or
and what their wages are
currently exist,
and how many currently exist, and things like that. And a lot of times I'll get that information and take it to a meeting with an industry that's wanting to do something different. But you know, we try to go into the discussions with open minds and open ears to hear what's possible. I mean, because when we went in and started talking to the logging companies, I thought, wow, how are we going to do this? And then when we sat down and they said, you know, and what they're asking us to do is not really going to change our program all that much. It's just a small change, but it's an opportunity.
Well, and I would think it gives them a chance to kind of engage also.
Yes.
So that it's the partnering rather than having to deal with or accommodate whatever comes out,
mm-hmm.
instead of having something tailored.
Yeah, we're trying to encourage as many conversations with different industry groups within the area as possible, because, you know, let's face it, we live behind the Redwood Curtain. We've got a limited amount of resources here. Really is now's a time for industry and education to work together to try to figure out how to fill some of these gaps.
What about something like the financial sector, or Marty, you had mentioned computer information. You know, we have this area, we've got these land masses that are sitting here. We may not have the cyber capabilities at this point to really have a number of large campuses of internet-driven or types of businesses, but certainly that could be something down the road. Do you get in front of the wave, or do you wait for the wave to start hitting the shore and then identify a niche and then go out into a sector?
I'd like to say we're trying to get ahead. I know one of the things that the state is also pushing besides career education is entrepreneurism. And so we've actually gotten funding to support local efforts, whether it's entrepreneurism competitions or entrepreneurism education. And so CR has formed a group, the Venture Collaborative, which is essentially College of the Redwoods, Humboldt State University, Humboldt County Office of Education, Blue Lake Rancheria, coming together as a group to work together to support kind of the infrastructure for entrepreneurism in the area and start building out the support structure of activities and education. Culturally, entrepreneurism is hot, Shark Tank, et cetera. Humboldt County has always fostered an environment of entrepreneurism. Heck, it's very common in Humboldt to have two or three jobs. You kind of stitch it all together to make a living here. And so whatever we can do to work with the high schools, the university, other business interests in the area to kind of foster these entrepreneurism skills and ensure that people that are coming to the table with ideas for small business are getting supported, that's something we want to do with all our other partners in the community.
So how do you tap into that spirit? I mean, the schools certainly have got the kids. What I'm thinking of, okay, you slug it out for 5 or 10 years. Now you've got some knowledge base. Now I want to go out and do what I want to do. How do you get the 30-somethings?
Well, we're building the infrastructure and really ensuring it's in place for students, but the next step is going to be reaching out to the community. There are entrepreneurism competitions in place that we want to eventually pull community members in that do have financial rewards, and we want to build that out to where
you're... And wherewithal, I would imagine, to support.
Well, that's the thing.
Efforts,
we can hook through these competitions, we can start to set this up where those with money and resources can support those people coming to the table with ideas who have been in business for, you know, 2, 3, 4 years and have started to put their business in place and have the proof that they're going to make a go of it, but
they're starting to get that traction.
Right, but they need the resources in order to grow. And so I think through the Venture Collaborative, we're going to be able to get down this path. There's been various entrepreneurism efforts within Humboldt County over the last 10 years. We're just trying to, as a college, help gather that as a working group.
Kind of more of a focus.
A focused effort.
There are no plans to approve one of the programs for nonprofit, are you? That seems to be what we specialize in an awful lot is nonprofits.
Oh, we at one point had over 700 nonprofits in Humboldt County, so
and
yes.
And each with an executive director. Chew on that one during the break. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:41.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Prue Radliff and Marty Quello from College of the Redwoods. Prue, some of these different programs that are out there, whether it's by an industry and you're looking to create, or whether it's an established one and you're just kind of fine-tuning, what is the exchange? How do people make contact? What are the reasonable expectations to anticipate? What can CR do, or what can't CR do?
The best way for somebody to actually start a conversation with us is to call our office. And our number is 476-4500. And our staff will get you to the right person to talk to about, let's say that you wanted to have some kind of training for your employees that has to do with letter writing or written communication emails. That's what we call contract training. So you want us to come in and train your staff or your employees in a particular area. A good example of that is that we recently did something with St. Joe's Hospital on assaultive behavior. So a lot of their people, I think it was their building engineers, needed to learn how to deal with people who were maybe not acting appropriately. And so we went in and we did some training with them. We did a contract with them. We hired the instructors. We took care of everything. And what we'll do is we'll sit down and we'll talk to you and see what is it that you really want. And we'll develop it. We'll come back to you and say, is this going to work for you? And if it doesn't, then we're going to tweak it to fit what your needs are.
Probably not the right word to use in association with St. Joe's and people acting weird.
Okay, we're going to refine it.
Yes,
we're going to
fine-tune
it so that it fits what your particular business needs.
So St. Joe's probably has a budget that's bigger than a lot of us.
Mm-hmm.
If you're Marty and Brian's Grill and Steakhouse, and we, you know, we're regular kind of, can we afford to do something like this?
Actually, you can, because the other thing that we can do, for example, I had a construction company that called me recently, and they want what's called RRP lead abatement. That's restoration and repair for properties that are old,
asbestos.
Older than 1978.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so they wanted that training, but they only had a small number of people that they could put in, and I need to have a certain number to make a class go. And so in discussions with her, I was like, okay, are you all right if I open it up and we bring the public into it? So they told me, well, I have about 1 to 4 people that we can put in. And I said, okay, I'm going to advertise. And I actually talked to somebody today, and they were like, you know, I need that training. And I said, okay, well, this is when it is. Call our office, and we can get you set up and into the class.
So there is opportunity, even if you're a small little guy.
Yeah, just stuff.
Or very, very narrow need.
Right. Well, if
we have a restaurant comes to us and they say, well, we need this type of training for our restaurant employees, it's natural for us to reach out to other restaurants and say, hey, you know, we're starting this up. Are you guys interested in this as well?
Okay.
We have advisory groups for our career education programs, and so we get a lot of input coming from them as to the types of different courses that would benefit, you know, their employees.
Does it change? Does the trend change, like, day to day, month to month? Or is it take care of it this situation, then it's taken care of and we jump over to something else?
I think one of the challenges of a small area is that, in general, we develop courses that may work for 1 semester, 2 semesters, a year or two, and then we have fulfilled the need in our area for a certain period of time, and we may need to bring it back later.
So you can resurrect some of the programs.
Exactly. If you're in Santa Rosa, you could run these things every semester and be fine. There's a large enough market. But having said that, you know, truck driving program, very regular. So there are specific niches that seem to be becoming more prevalent.
It's actually something we've done in our phlebotomy program. We don't want to oversaturate the market with too many people out there, and then there's not enough jobs. So we're only running that program once a year. And that way,
that's kind of enough to hit the sweet spot.
Yeah, and there 25 students go through that, and that's enough for each year. And beyond that, you've got too many people out there, and then they're not getting jobs, and then they're not happy.
Again, if somebody has an interest, call you, Prue, call Marty, call the front office and say, hey, I'm looking to find out how to do, and they'll kind of direct us?
Yes. That's 476-4500.
Or they can reach out to me at the college, Marty Coelho, College Advancement, and we'll pull the right players to the table and hold those conversations and see where we can go.
Very cool stuff. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.